Hello, my name is Simon Walden from FilmPosterAcademy.com. In today's podcast, I'm going to be talking about how we made the videos that are on sale at the website. As you probably know, there are four videos currently available. That's Creative Nudes, Creative Glamour, Fine Art Nude, and New Glamour. And I'm going to talk about the process really from soup to nuts, how we set about creating the whole thing, what our intentions were, how we did it, what was easy and what was hard. So let's kick off. Choosing the topics first, you know, we wanted to be sure we knew exactly what we were going to do. And I sat down and I generated a list of about 60 different sets, themes, lighting, recipes and so on that we could use across the videos. And then I went about scratching some of them out because either they didn't have enough informational content or weren't interesting enough or kind of duplicated other areas. So we were trying to set up each set would be able to get over at least one key message and one particular style or one particular technique. And where we could, we were looking to get over two or three or four or five different aspects. Once we got that list of topics, and then we sat down and broke them down into the different DVDs that they would appear on and so on, we then had to choose models that would work well for those topics. A fine art model is not the same thing as a glamour model, and different girls have different strengths in each area. So we did a bit of mixing and matching and kind of worked around, and we had a kind of short list of about half a dozen, and eventually again we took three of those out, so we were left with three models to work across the DVDs. Then came what I thought would be the hard part, which was actually shooting the shoots. We had each model in for a day. Each day took about 10 to 12 hours. And we had 10 sets for each model to go through. The sets were largely pre-built, pre-prepared in advance before the girls came in. But that wasn't always the case. There were a couple of bits where we had to shuffle some stuff around to get things in the right place. Now, from a photographer's viewpoint, I have to say I felt quite pressurized there. I had to be able to walk on, do the talky bit, take some photographs while being watched, make sure that the videographer Petra was happy with what she was seeing. We had to do a few setup bits so she could capture exactly the right kind of stuff. And I also had to capture great images, images that supported what we were trying to do. And all of that in about 30 minutes per shoot was the sort of the target that we set ourselves. That was, each of those days was a very hard day, a real slog to get through. And at the end of each day, we interviewed the models about what they felt about modelling. We would ask them a bunch of questions and let them respond as they wanted to. So far, so good. So far, so we've got 3 days of shooting done. And we figure we're on the easy bit now. We've got to shoot the pickups, the bit where I do a bit of talk, the reviews of the images, and the lighting diagrams. Man, I was wrong. I thought we'd clear that in a day. It took us another 3 days to shoot all that stuff. We had a little bit of issue about the lighting diagrams. I mean, we could have animated them or something like that, and that would have looked nice and slick, but it would have lost the sort of human contact. And in the end, we did this shooting through glass process where you can see me sketching the diagrams and talking them at the same time. And that does lead to a more interactive and kind of direct method of teaching. The reviews where we critiqued each image, not each image, we kind of picked half a dozen from each set. They were reasonably easy. I could improvise around those. I knew I picked six images that either expressed the best of the set or areas where there was different work needed and pitfalls to look out for. They were reasonably straightforward. The bit that really flummoxed me was the hello and welcome to. It was just one of those things. It was the end of the day. I had to walk onto a particular spot, do the line. And the first three, I just fluffed them up for different reasons. And after that, I just lost the thread. And, man, that was hard. In the end, we reshot them on another day because I just couldn't get it right. And I have to say, as a presenter, now, having done so much of it in a big burst like that, I realise watching TV there are a few really good presenters and a lot of very, very average presenters. Some presenters have the knack of being clear, coherent, fluent, and crucially natural in what they're doing. There's no sort of caricature of presentation, which I've seen so many other presenters now. Lighting in these setups was kind of fun at a technical level. We typically wanted to use the lights that we were using for the actual shoot itself, but of course that tends to be concentrated down on the model. So we had some fun and games getting enough light in, ambient light around, so you can see the set, so you can see me working, and so on. Sound for photographers is, well, I mean, we know nothing about sound, do we? It's a real game, and in the end we were using wireless mics clipped to me and a separate ambient mic for picking up background noise and so on. But the real issue with sound is, until you really start recording sound, you never realise just how much noise there is going on around you. The number of times we'd have to stop for people talking, police sirens, planes going overhead, fan heaters, air conditioning, all sorts of stuff. You try and eliminate and get rid of all those things, but they still kept cropping up. In the end, we started shooting on weekends and in the evenings during the quiet time. Another aspect that I'd never really realised as a stills photographer is the very mundane thing of downloading the tapes from the camera onto the computer that are going to be edited in. And I was sort of aware that the whole process of dealing with video is essentially a real-time thing. That's something we don't have with photographers. You know, a day's shooting compresses to down to about like a 10-minute download from the camera, you know. That's not the case with video. Unless you're using some really, really slick stuff, essentially you are in for a real-time download from tape. Well, each day we're shooting 10, 15 hours worth of tape. No, 10 hours worth of tape. That's a 10-hour download. We've got a week's worth of downloading tapes just to start with. And then we move to the edit. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, editing video. Again, it's a real-time process. You have to watch the whole thing as you're editing the pieces together. And of course, you're gluing it all together, so you're just watching the same bit over and over and over again as you're tweaking it, tuning it, strengthening, you know, whatever it is that needs to be done to it, shuffling the bits and pieces around. That is such a time-consuming process. We did very well. We were shooting about a ratio of 3-1. That means for every 3 hours of video, we're generating about 1 hour of finished product. That is an incredibly high ratio. Feature films and just regular TV programming, that's on the order of 10-1 ratios. So we were fairly pleased with that. It means that on the whole, my presentations did not have fluff. We didn't have very many retakes. And we were capturing the material that we needed. We did work hard to make sure we knew we were doing that before we started. But nevertheless, that edit process is a very long process. And if you've ever worked on anything like this, or when you're working on your own images, after a while you start to get to be blind to some of the things. You know, you spot them the first time round, but by the time you're on the sixth, the seventh, the eighth time round, you've just stopped noticing it altogether. And our first video, the Creative Glamour video, there will be a re-edit on that. There are a couple of little pieces where we should have spotted things that just didn't look right, and they will come out and be retuned. So you've created the edit. The next thing you have to do, which was something I hadn't really thought about at all, is you have to render these things. What happens is you edit these days in a process called offline editing. Essentially that means you're working on a low resolution cached version of your video, and you're just marking up edit marks on that low resolution. And then you run this render process, which goes back to the original video at high resolution and creates a high resolution output. Now for our 2-hour DVDs, they're about 2.5 hours, our rendering process is about a 5-hour process per hour. That has thrown off the schedules on the first couple of DVDs because that was much longer than we were anticipating. Once you've got a render, you then stick that on a DVD, and then immediately we're faced with the next question is, what kind of DVD process and replication do we use? We could go to essentially a glass print on a dual layer DVD, so you'd have one DVD in the pack, but you have to print thousands. Let me tell you, by this time we are a lot of money into this project with no returns. So we figured, I know, two DVDs is fine. We can split the material across the two DVDs in a way that makes sense anyway, and we can replicate those in much smaller numbers. obviously the website has to go alongside all this, and we're loading up all the things like the lighting diagrams and the backup materials and details about the models and all the rest of it at the same time. And then there's the final bit, which is the trailers, which is a completely different kind of edit to the edit that we're using for the DVDs, both in terms of content but also in terms of the process. You know, it has to be much snappier, but it also has to be much cleaner and obvious what's going on, so that by the time you're viewing it in that little YouTube postage stamp trailer, you can still get a sense of what's happening. So overall, here's my impressions as a first time on a major video project like this, from the viewpoint of presenting and creating DVDs, is the time it requires is huge by comparison to stills photography. A whole orders of magnitude. It's just impossible to overestimate, it seems to me, how long it's going to take to produce a really good quality material. And this was working with a very experienced videographer, very experienced editor. Now this is interesting because, of course, with the new cameras coming out that have HD on them, things like the Canon 5D Mark II that's got, you know, the ability to record HD, and of course a lot of photographers are talking right now, well, what are we going to do with that? Are we going to use that? Where does that put us? My first thought was, yeah, I could see that. You know, I'm shooting a wedding. I'm not going to HD the whole thing. I'm not going to video. I'm not going to turn into a videographer. But how about doing a video, say, of the service, that area where I'm not allowed to photograph? Now, that would be great to video. But then I'd have to edit it and fix all the sound. And how do I sound record in a church anyway? And there's going to be a lot of questions going out there. There's going to be a lot of photographers who, I think, start off with the idea that yes, this is easy, and are going to find that actually it's much harder to produce the kind of quality in the video area that they're currently producing in their stills. So I think for a lot of us, if we're going to try that, we're going to have to work hard at building up our skills in that area, but we're also going to have to look at our workflow and our expenses. If I just videoed the service alone, let's say that's 30 minutes, I've probably got to reckon I've got another 5-6 hours worth of work to do on that after the fact. So that's another day on top of my regular shooting time for a wedding. That's got to be factored in. Anyway, it was fun to do. I have to say the other thing about it all is, at the end of it, I'd felt really shot out. You know, I'd done 30 sets. No, way more than 30 sets. 48 sets we did in the end, I think. I was exhausted, and also I'd got nothing left in me to shoot. It's actually taken me 2 or 3 months to get back into shooting my stuff. The commercial stuff, fine, you know, that comes with a sort of a brief. But shooting creative stuff, it did set me back, and that was very interesting too. Anyway, we hope that you're enjoying the DVDs and you're finding them useful. We know from the feedback we're getting that those who've used them, they think they're really great, and that's very gratifying. And we know, again, the feedback coming back says not only are they educational, but they're also very inspirational. And that was one of our aims, that we had to inspire you to go out and create good photos, creative and interesting photos, as well as giving you the skills and techniques. And we sent it out to be reviewed by some skilled photographers, and they too are coming back and saying, yeah, that's cool, we've learned stuff. There's different ways of doing things that we'd never thought about or hadn't used. So we're really pleased. We're really pleased with the feedback we're getting. It's covering a broad area and lots of people are finding them useful. I can't help but finish off with an advert at this point. So if you want to buy one of our DVDs, just head over to the website. That's filmphotoacademy.com. You can buy the DVDs either singly or as a box set. A lot of people are buying the whole set of units, all 4 units. We'll have DVDs coming down the line in the future, not just in portraiture and portraiture-related stuff, but we're hoping to introduce things like still life, natural history, wildlife studies, and all sorts. So keep watching, and thank you very much. So I was on a photo shoot in an area of devastation the other day. There'd been torrential rain and large waves coming up from the river and all sorts of stuff. And the Prime Minister came out and did the kind of usual tour of the scene of destruction and all the rest of it. Well, anyway, as he's getting out of the car, this wave comes up the Severn and he washes him off of the edge of the car and out into the river. Well, I'm thinking I can either save the Prime Minister by throwing him a rope or take a unique shot of him drowning. Well, it's a terrible dilemma. I mean, I'd only got a second to decide. Was I going to use wide angle or a telephoto?